We're in Joshua chapter 11, as we're going through the Old Testament. Last time we were in Joshua, we saw that Joshua defeated the southern territories. Remember, the Lord had brought them into the land. They kind of split the land across and then defeated the southern group. And now we're going to see in this chapter the Lord moves them on further. Remember, the only reason, though, for their success was the Lord God of Israel was fighting for his people. And that's a really good encouragement for us. This should be also a stern warning to all the enemies of God that the Lord God of Israel, he fights for his people. And we know there's a lot of folks in the world today who aren't paying heed to that. But we learn from this too, the only reason for our success as Christians is the fact that God is fighting he's fighting our battles for us. And we have to trust him and make sure he's leading and we're following. Remember, Jesus said that without him, we can't do anything, right? So we need to let the Lord fight our battles for us and make sure he's out in front. Now in chapter 11 here, we're going to see the conquest of the northern territories. So the Lord lets us see how they won those battles. And we get a huge lesson from this whole passage here, that complete obedience brings complete victory. And that's a real good encouragement the Lord brings before us. And we see this other places in Scripture, but it's complete obedience that brings the complete victory. A lot of times we don't do the whole thing we're supposed to do, and then we think God cut us short. It's not that way. We're the ones who cut the Lord short. Remember back in chapter 1, we were looking at Joshua when we first started our study. The Lord had said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised to Moses. That's a tremendous promise from the Lord. So the Lord was saying a couple of things there. First, that God gave them the land, but they had to possess it. And we understand the same as with us. You know, the Lord has given us the blessings, but we have to receive them. We have to act on those blessings and promises that the Lord has given toward us. So for us, that the promises we see in God's word, we have to receive those things. We can't just know about them in our head, but we have to receive them and we have to obey the Lord and step out in faith on those things. So how do we actually grab these promises from the Lord the same way Israel had to do it, by trusting and obeying. Those simple things right there. We got to trust the Lord to say, Lord, I know your word is truth, so I'm going to step out on that and believe it, and then I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And it comes down to those simple steps. The Lord was also saying in that statement about every soul, he said, he's letting us know, you can have as much of the Spirit-filled life as you want. Every place, he said, that the sole of your foot will tread. You know, I have given that to you. So you can go as far as you want to go with the Lord. Right now, if you're not satisfied with your spiritual life where you're at, you can have more. The only thing stopping you is you, because the Lord is offering it to us. It's just we have to step out deeper in faith and deeper in obedience. And that's the same. That's how we do that, the same way, by trusting the Lord and obeying the Lord. And remember, the Lord tells us to trust in him with all of our heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And that's the big problem we have, is we tend to lean on our own understanding. So we get into our chapter of Joshua 11, verse 1. It came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, and talking about here those amazing things that God had given victories to Israel, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Asshath, and to the kings who were from the north in the mountains, in the plain, south of Chinneroth, which is a reference to the Sea of Galilee area, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite below Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So it's amazing here. Isn't it amazing, this king, the fear that they're experiencing because they're enemies of Israel. I mean, this king heard about all the victories, you know, that the Lord had blessed them with, how they just kept marching through the southern territories and how they won. So this king is in such fear now, he's going to grab all the kings he can get a hold of in the north and say, we need to come together and we need to fight against these people. That's our only chance to defeat these folks, and we need to defeat them soundly. So he's going to grab as many as he can. But isn't it amazing, the fear that the enemies of Israel experienced here? And what kind of fear do you think our spiritual enemies have today too when they see the victories that Jesus is winning for us? You know, when the Lord has done things in our life that people have said to you yourself, oh, that'll never happen, or don't even think about that, you know, that could actually happen in your life, and yet Jesus made it happen. He made it come through. So we know our spiritual enemies, we get a real good picture of that right here. They have fear too when we step out and trust the Lord. The enemy, the Lord tells us he's like a lion. He will roar pretty loud, but as somebody said, he don't have any teeth. The teeth have been removed. He's still got the noisemaker, but he can't do that kind of damage unless we allow him to. So the fear had caused the kings of the northern territories here to attempt to unite together, and their goal was to fight against Israel. They had heard that a single kingdom, like Jericho, couldn't defeat Israel by themselves. And they had also heard that the five kingdoms that joined together, they weren't strong enough to defeat Israel either. So this northern kingdom here, he decided, we're going to have to get all the kings of the north together. And that was his conclusion. I think there were, if you do the math on this, is counting all the kings he mentions coming through here, there were at least 24 kings represented here. That's a lot of kingdoms, okay? So this guy's not messing around. And that's how scared he was, thinking, we got to do it. We got to get everybody we can. Can you imagine facing 24 kingdoms coming against you? Wow. So here's a principle we get from this, okay? This is one of them scary principles. When we walk in victory, when the enemy sees that we've been stepping out for the Lord and he's seeing the Lord give us victories, it means that we become targets of that enemy. Okay, so it's okay. Right now, Israel's a target because they've seen how God's been working in their life. So now the enemies are going to come together. But as believers, we're in the same situation of spiritual warfare. When we step out, we get that target on us. Now, that's why we say, you know, when we see the enemy attacking, we see the spiritual warfare starting to kick up, we say, we must be doing something right, right? Because the enemy's placed his target on us. So we say, thank you, Lord. You're using us, and we're seeing you work. And you get the credit and glory for all that you do. So come down to verse 4. So they went out, all these kings, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. Now what an intimidating sight as the Lord gives us that description. Can you see this picture of the entire land covered, and it's all covered with armies of soldiers? Yeah, what an intimidating picture there. So Israel, at this point, they were outnumbered. They didn't have horses or chariots to fight with like these mighty armies had. The Lord mentions they have many horses and very many horses and chariots. Israel doesn't have that. They got foot soldiers, okay? And the Canaanites, they combined forces. When you look at everybody they had fighting for them, according to Josephus, he said their forces amounted to 300,000 infantry, 10,000 cavalry, and 20,000 war chariots. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful group back in this day, okay? So these armies came with their huge number of soldiers and with all their great equipment for battle. But what did Israel have that they didn't? God Almighty. Yes, God Almighty. And when God Almighty is fighting for you, it doesn't matter what kind of weapons your enemy has. It doesn't make any difference how big they look, how powerful they look. When we have the Lord God fighting for us and we're fighting with him, the enemy is in trouble, not us, okay? So Israel here, they were facing some things they hadn't faced before. They're facing a much larger fighting force than they've seen before, and they're facing some superior weaponry. These guys have horses and chariots, which are pretty helpful in battle when you've got them on your side. And so here we have them facing these things, and this is new to them. Before they had some tough battles, but this is the biggest of the biggest so far. So just like the challenges here for Israel increasing as they're going into the land and seeing the battles getting bigger and bigger and bigger, if you know, they went from fighting Jericho, one group, one city by itself, to now facing over 24 kingdoms at one time. That's a huge jump there. Just like that, we find the challenges that we face in our Christian life life, they seem to increase too. You know, sometimes you can look back and say, man, I'm glad the Lord didn't hit me with this one back then, you know, because I don't think I would have survived. But the Lord, he brings us through these trials and these battles that we face. And even though they might get bigger, they might get stronger against us, we have the same God. He's still God Almighty, and no one stands a chance against him. In verse 5 it says, and when all these kings had met together, they came and they camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. So these kings, they even picked the battleground where they knew that their forces and their military weapons would be the most effective. I thought this was an ingenious place to fight. It was a flat area, so they had plenty of room for their horses and chariots to do their attacking. But also you got this water source there. You know, one of the struggles that they have there is to make sure you have water if the battle lasts a long time. We're so spoiled in our country, usually don't think of that stuff. We just go to the water tap or even go to the store and buy a bottle of water. But back in their time period, if you didn't have water close by, you're in trouble. So they've got a great place to fight from. They think they've got all their bases covered, you know. But even with all that going for them, they're still no match for God Almighty. The Lord tells us in Psalm 2, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. So don't worry if it looks like the enemy has the upper hand on you, and there are times when it sure looks like the enemy does. But the Lord, as long as he is fighting for you, the enemy does not stand a chance. And boy, we need passages like this to remind us, don't we? Because sometimes we look out, it looks like we got them troops coming against us with thousands just covering the whole landscape here. But our God reminds us, no one can touch you as long as you're fighting for me. I've got this. Another thing we see here, these armies were all gathered together one place. And now this was the Lord's doing, to bring them all together. So the Lord rounded up all these armies, and this is going to save the Israelites from having to go from city to city to fight each of these kingdoms one at a time. Don't you love these plans of the Lord when he does stuff like this? So the Lord was going to defeat a bunch of the kingdoms at one shot here. And it's really cool to see how he does this. Now, sometimes we end up facing a trial that looks so huge to us also. But in reality, it's like this. The Lord's just working out a number of things for us at one time. You know, it amazes me, and if you think about that, when God's doing something, sometimes we wish he'd move faster, but you think about how many things he's putting in place, how many people he's working on to answer those prayers. There's a lot happening. So there takes time for some of that stuff, and we just got to be patient and say, our God's got this. He knows what he's doing. We asked him. We've laid it before him. He's heard us. We know he says if we pray according to his will, he hears our prayers. So we just wait and watch the Lord work. Verse 6 goes on, but the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them. And it's interesting that he gives this real scary picture of these mighty armies and how huge they cover up the ground and everything. And in verse 6 it says, but, even all that stuff's going on, but the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Now, why did the Lord tell them, don't be afraid? Because they needed to hear that. And we would too if we were looking at this huge mass of people saying, we're coming to kill you guys. So they needed to hear it. The intimidating sight of these massive armies would be enough to bring fear in us and the folks there too. But the problem with fear can lead to discouragement. And that's not a good thing for believers, for the children of the Lord. If you notice, a lot of times our enemy tries to use fear against us. And you know, there's a lot of fear pushed at us in this world. Even our media likes to use fear to push stuff against us and try to get us afraid of things and concern. And the enemy, his end goal is to discourage us. That's why he wants us to have fear. You know, you think about it, when you're trying to witness to somebody, what kind of thoughts come to mind? You know, they don't want to hear that. Or you don't know enough to say anything. Where do you think those thoughts are coming from? Trying to put fear in you to have you back off. So you're discouraged and say, yeah, I'm not the right person to talk to them anyway. You know, I shouldn't say anything. You know, the enemy's good about bringing up sin in your life. You just did that and you think you have a right to tell someone about God, the holiness of God? And the enemy's just trying to back us off with fear and get us in a place of discouragement. That's his end goal. And he doesn't mind if you and I, if we run from the fight, or if we simply avoid getting in the fight, but he certainly doesn't want us winning the victories over the territories that he's trying to hold on to. And that is entirely possible for us to win those victories as we just step out in faith and pray and trust the Lord and follow him. So the Lord is telling us right now too, don't be afraid. You know, and why does he tell us that? Because we need to hear it, just like they did. I'm amazed how many times as we go through, especially the Old Testament here, and the Lord keeps saying over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And we need that, because fear comes a lot of times day after day, doesn't it? And the Lord knows we need to hear that. So stay in the Word. Keep receiving that every time the Lord speaks to you. Don't be afraid. Now, the Lord told the folks here why they didn't need to be afraid. He said, because in a short while, God was going to give them the victory. He said, by tomorrow, at this time, this is all going to be over. And you're going to see that every single one of your enemies has been defeated because I've delivered them into your hand. I've given them to you. So they weren't going to see victory today, but they would tomorrow. And that's the way we have to remember this too. We may not see victory today, but it doesn't mean we may not see it tomorrow. So don't give up. Okay, and don't miss this either. With the fearful sight of these massive armies, what happens? The Lord showed up to encourage Joshua. That is so cool to watch this. You sure want to know that the Lord's there when you have this stuff coming at you, don't you? And the Lord promised he'd never leave us, forsake us. So we're so grateful to the Lord that he's always there. And if you and I need encouragement, we can just stop at any moment. We can pray. We can open the Word. God just fills us with his encouragement to keep going. So don't miss that one. I found that the Lord does this for us. And like when we're marching along in the parade and we're handing out those tracts, it's amazing. People will say to us, you know, we're sure glad you guys are here. You know, hear them say that. We've had the same thing when we hand out popcorn, you know. Some folks will say, man, we're glad you guys are here. Thanks for doing this stuff. Those are just messages from the Lord that he's sending to encourage us. You know, I've even seen that down in the Mardi Gras ministry. We did that down there in such an evil and wicked place. We'd have folks that come up and say, thanks for being here, guys. Keep going. Glad you're doing what you're doing. Even though they're walking around with a beer in their hand and they're half out of it, you know, but they're saying same thing. We're going, thank you, Lord. Thanks for the encouragement. Helps you to keep going in those difficult times. Now, the Lord told them to do something interesting, if you notice at the end of verse 6. He said to hamstring their horses and then burn their chariots with fire. The hamstring of the horses, this was done by cutting the sinews and the arteries of the hind legs of the horse. And some said that the horse would not only become hopelessly lame, but they'd also bleed to death. Now these are powerful animals. And the Lord's saying, I want you to destroy them, get rid of them. Same thing with the chariots. So the reason for this command is that the Lord wanted to teach Israel to trust in him and not in military resources. Boy, do we need to hear that in our country today, huh? Because we think we're so tough and so powerful, but you know what? If God says you're done, you're done. Doesn't matter how huge your army is, how powerful your weapons. You don't want to fight against Almighty God. You will lose. Yeah, so the Lord gives some great wisdom here to these folks. He wants them to learn to trust him no matter what. And man, we need to hear this too these days because we see our society, our financial system, everything's going to, it's rocking and it's rocky right now, it's crumbling. And what are you going to do when things crash overnight, when we don't have anything left, when things have been taken away from us? You better be holding on to the Lord. He's the only thing that won't change. Okay, don't put your trust in, as we've learned, don't put your trust in your retirement account because it may not be there. Don't put your trust in the money because it's being devalued every day. Only put your trust in the Lord. He's the one who is stable. He provides for us. He takes care of us. Whether there's money or not, he takes care of us. And we praise the Lord that he is so good in doing that. You know, the Lord, he doesn't want people trusting in those military sources. In Psalm 20, says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And the Lord encourages us, you can always trust me. I'm always here, and I will do what the best I can to lead you, guide you, protect you, and you don't have to worry. I'll take that on my shoulders. God has this. So verse 7, so Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. So it's interesting, Joshua, he surprised them with an unexpected ambush. And I love it when the Lord does this. You know, the enemy, he thinks he's going to do one thing, and then the Lord turns it around and he brings a victory for his children. And it is so awesome to see the Lord do that. And, you know, I think in a lot of we have a lot of Muslim folks that are getting saved in third world countries right now. And here, even as we pray for Pastor Saeed in that, these guys are carrying the gospel message with them. There are people who are getting saved right where they're at, you know. The Lord's using what the enemy wants to destroy. He's using it to bring new life. And it's so awesome to see the Lord do these unexpected ambushes on the enemy's plans. I think that is so cool. Now we're going to see here too that Joshua fought, and it's interesting to notice how he fought. He fought with obedience. That's what he was fighting with, obedience. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And he was even going to destroy the Canaanite weapons, the horses and the chariots, instead of taking them for his own army. And that's pretty tough to do when you're thinking about it. We've got an edge if we've got these things on our side. Lord says, I don't want you to have those things. You don't need them. You just need me. So get rid of those things. Wow, tough call, tough decision. But if you've heard from the Lord, you don't have to worry about it. God says, I got this. Don't worry about it. You don't need that stuff. You only need me. So verse 8, it says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, just like he promised he would. It says, he delivered in the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to Greater Sidon, to the brook Mashrephoth, to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked him until they left, none of them remaining. Now, how did they get this victory? The Lord gave them the victory. That's how they got the victory. Man, we don't want to miss that one. The Lord keeps bringing it up over and over again, and I love that he does that, because we're so forgetful. We got a good forgetter, don't we? But we need to know the victories come from the Lord. He's the one who gives them to us. And there wasn't any, they didn't leave any remaining here. It was a complete victory. Verse 9, it says, so Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses, and he burned their chariots with fire. Now, this is such a cool thing to notice here. Such an important lesson. We really want to get this one. What do we see here? We see obedience after the victory. Man, that's so important for us to get. It's outright dangerous for us to experience a victory, because our flesh tends to rear up and get cocky like we did something, you know? And we tend to forget it was God who did all this. So the Lord reminds us here, obedience after victory is a really, really good thing to see. We got to be extremely careful after a victory to remain obedient. Yeah, it's so easy for us to look away from that. You know, I can't help but think of King David. When did he mess up? It was right after he had seen many victories. That's when he messed up. He let his guard down. Man, such a warning to us. So again, we have to be extremely, and I mean extremely careful to be obedient after a victory occurs. That's a lot of times when we're most vulnerable. So it's great to see Joshua practice that right here. Without even a blink, as soon as it's over, he does exactly what God said. The battle's been fought, so we're going to take those animals, we're going to deal with them as God said, we're going to destroy the chariots, just like the Lord told us to do. So we see something here about the Lord. And this is for us in this too. We see the Lord was calling them and teaching them to trust him. And you know what? That's what God's doing in our life. He's calling us and teaching us to trust him. So don't beat yourself up if you think, well, I'm not too far along. That's okay. God's still working. He's not done yet. But he is calling us to trust him more and more and more. And that's where our real growth comes from, as we step out in trusting the Lord more, taking his word absolutely true, living exactly what the Lord tells us, just how he tells us to do it. Now, the natural thought here for Joshua and the guys would be, let's keep these horses and chariots. Man, they're powerful, you know. But that wasn't true in the eyes of the Lord. What made them more powerful? Obedience to the Lord. That's what made them more powerful. It didn't matter if you had horses and chariots or not, as long as you have the Lord. You know, when they were obeying the Lord was fighting for them. Man, we got to hold on to that too. When we're obeying the Lord, walking in his ways, God's fighting for us. It's when we get off the road and we say, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to follow you. I think my ways are better. That's when we're in trouble. Lord says, okay, I'm going to back off and you got this. You know, I mean, look at our nation now as you watch it crumble and fall apart. And you think, how can you guys in the leadership not see this happening? You removed yourself from God. So he's backed off and said, okay, you got it. Let's see how you can do. And man, what a mess we got. And it's going to get worse and worse. How sad, unless we repent. So we need to trust the Lord and do things his way. You think about it, his ways are perfect and they're always the best. So it's actually foolish not to trust him. Why would you not take someone's advice whose ways are perfect? You know, they're never wrong, ever. You know, their ways are just, they're good, they're holy. Why would you turn away from that? So here we see when Joshua, when he obeyed in destroying those horses and chariots, it showed that he was not leaning on his own understanding. Because his understanding would have said different. Don't do this. We might need these things, you know. But he was not leaning on his own understanding, but he was trusting the Lord with all of his heart. Beautiful picture. And he was denying himself in order to obey the Lord. And a lot of times we have to do that. You know, the Lord talks about us denying ourselves, and we think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to give that up. Well, you're going to have to if you want to obey the Lord, because you can't do it your way and his way too. That doesn't work. It's got to be his way. Someone said this. The possession of things on which the carnal heart is prone to depend is hurtful to the life of faith and the walk with God. Therefore, it's better to be without worldly advantages than to have the soul endangered by them. I think that's really good to chew on. You know, there are times that we think, I've got this, and if somebody says, well, how are you going to make it in the future? Well, I got this and this and this. Well, this and this and this might be gone in the future. If you say, I've got the Lord in the future, praise the Lord, you got all you need. And he'll take care of everything else. And the Lord's trying to get us to see, don't trust in things in this world. Right? The Lord tells us, don't love the things of this world. Man, you can't have the love of the things of the world and love the Father in you too. Let that stuff go. Trust in the Lord and him only. Now for Israel, to take these horses and chariots, as far as they would do it in the eyes of the Lord, it would be to use the devil's tools. Because these are the tools of the enemy that was brought against them. And the believers don't need to use the devil's tools. There have been people who said, hey, you can get a lot more people in your church. And some of these folks have said this to me directly years past, not now, thankfully. But they've said, hey, you can get a lot more people in your church if you just use booze or use slot machines or showgirls. You'll get a lot more people coming in. Yeah, but we don't need the devil's tools. We don't need that. This is the large church, and he will build it, okay? Just the way he wants to build it. We don't need all that junk the enemy tries to throw up there and try to get you pulled into some of the junk that he's got and lead you into sin. We don't need the devil's tools like that. And you know, the Lord doesn't need our help, and he certainly doesn't need the devil's help. We just need to let the Lord do things his way, make sure we leave our hands off and follow him. Now, somebody said this about taking the devil's tools too. Many Christians do not hesitate to use the horses and chariots of their spiritual enemy. Perhaps they should believe that God may want them to fight the battle on a different level, a level of complete trust in him. And that's what God's calling us to as well. Verse 10, Joshua turned back at that time, and he took Hazor, that was that mighty city mentioned up front there, and struck its king with the sword. For Hazor was formerly the head of all these kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So after defeating the armies out in the field, then they went back into the cities and they conquered them too. And this was just a simple judgment on a very wicked place. And we got to remind ourselves of that because, you know, when we see this and say, man, they killed everybody. Why? Because they were extremely wicked. They were never going to repent. God gave them a chance, and they didn't do that. Now, it's interesting to notice, too, as it says he burned this city of Hazor. Only Jericho, Ai, and Hazor were destroyed when Israel conquered the land. Only those three places. All the rest of the cities the Israelites inhabited after they conquered the land. Because all the rest of these cities, that was part of the inheritance the Lord had promised them. Remember when the Lord said that he went with them and when he brought them into the land, he would give them large and beautiful cities, which they did not build, houses filled with all good things, which they did not fill, hewn out wells, which they did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees, which they did not plant. So they really would become wealthy overnight. But the Lord was allowing these cities to remain. There was only three of them that were completely destroyed, and it was the Lord's direction, his guidance, for whatever reason. He did not want those to remain, so they were completely wiped out. You get down to verse 12 then. It says, so all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded. It's kind of interesting to see here. The Lord gave the command to Moses. Moses passed it on to Joshua, and Joshua fulfilled it. And that's the same picture for us, that the Lord has given his word to those who have written it down for us. They have now given it to us, and it's our job to obey that. So same kind of process there. Verse 13 says, but as for the cities that stood on their mounds, the ones on the hillsides here in the hills, Israel burned none of them except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and their livestock, the children of Israel took as booty for themselves, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. Now, it sounds harsh again to us a lot of times in our kind of milquetoast society we live in today, and we don't want to make criminals pay for their crimes, but the Lord keeps bringing it up and keeps putting it right in front of us here. The Lord had given the Canaanites 400 years to repent. That's a long, long time. But they did not. Instead, they filled up the measure of their iniquity. And we were sad when we see this in nations turn away from God and their sins keep building and building and building and building. And when it finally reaches that point, the Lord says, it's time for judgment now. And we don't know where that line is at. We don't know how close we are. But we can see our sins are mounting up. They're not being repented of. So they're building to that point. So the Canaanites here, they brought on themselves the judgment that they justly deserved. And this is something God shows us. I gave them a chance. They did not repent. So now it's time for judgment. You know, so this is a scary picture of the final judgment of all people who don't repent in this life and turn to Christ for forgiveness. Their refusal to repent is going to bring on the judgment that they justly deserve. And it's just because God's holy. He's given them a chance to come. He's made a way for them through Jesus. And if they don't receive that, then they're going to face the judgment. And that's something they deserve because they've rebelled against God. And you know, let's not forget this too. The Lord had given mercy to these people for 400 years. That's a long time. They could have repented any time in between there, you know. But there comes a time when mercy comes to an end for that lost person. We're told in Lamentations 3, and this is a New Living Translation, I like the way it says this, does not the Most High send both calamity and good? Then why should we, mere humans, complain when we are punished for our sins? Instead, let us test and examine our ways, and let us turn back to the Lord. Boy, that's a great thought, you know. Why are you complaining about the sins and what is done in your life and God's having to deal with that? Repent. You have another option, you know. You don't have to keep driving off the cliff. Stop and turn around. Go back to the way of life. Come back and return to the Lord. Verse 15 says, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. And there's that process again of the Lord passing it on and then Joshua obeying. And he passes on his truth to us through his word, and we're to obey too. It says he left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua gave complete obedience to the Lord, and he saw complete victory. And the same can be true for us. If we completely obey the Lord, we can see complete victory in our lives too. And we need to hear this. We need to see this. That is possible. Because the enemy is telling me the same thing he's telling you. It ain't going to work. You might as well just give up on this Christian thing. Just do it your way. You're smart enough. You're intelligent enough. You know what you're doing. All those lies that the enemy tells us. When God says, I want to give you better than that. I want to give you better than you think. Better than you can understand or imagine. Just follow me. My ways are so much higher, so much better. Now verse 16 says, thus Joshua took all this land. The mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings, so we mentioned over 24 of them rascals there, and he struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Now, since they entered the promised land and started to fight, I mean, it's just a couple of pages we're turning here, but they figure it took between 5 and 7 years for all of this, these battles, to take place up to this point in time. And it's a good lesson for us that it takes time to possess the promises of God. It takes time. These battles are not instantaneous. So don't give up if you don't see victory right away. We have an enemy, and he likes to use the world and our own flesh against us to try to get us to slow down and even quit. You know, sometimes these battles take time, and we just have to understand that you're in it for the long haul, and some of these battles are not easily won. You know, I've heard of some people, I know you have too, they've gotten delivered from things immediately when they got saved. You're thinking, man, that's really cool. What an awesome thing. And yet other things, they might take years for them to be able to see the victory in. And maybe some of us are in that same spot. You know, I know, seem like I end up getting stuck back in the same rut. I'm thinking, how did I get here again, Lord? I thought we were going to be done with this. And Lord says, keep fighting the battle. Keep fighting the battle. Keep fighting the battle. Don't give up on that. So even though it might take years, just don't give up and don't quit. And that's one of the strongest lessons we get from the battles that the enemies, that the Israel's facing against the enemies here. Don't quit. Don't let the enemy get you, because he didn't win. He already lost. You just got to keep moving forward. Keep doing what God tells you. Keep obeying. Now we see another element here too. In order to see victory here, what do they need? They needed time. This is really important. We've got to give the Lord our obedience, and we have to give him time, and we will eventually see the victory. The victory's there. God already said, I gave him the land. It took them 5 to 7 years to realize it, but they kept fighting all that time. And the day came where they saw that victory. You know? Now, this is hard for us to do in our microwave society, where we're used to 30 seconds, and as far as we're concerned, it should be done. You know, and Lord says, some of these battles are going to take longer than 30 seconds. So don't get too hung up on your culture here that likes that microwave stuff. Some battles are going to last longer. Do not give up. Verse 19, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. Remember that deal they had there. As the Gibeons pulled that schnookered them some on that one. Verse 20, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. Now think about this. Why did all these kings want to fight Israel? It says it was up of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle. And here's the reason, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, because they had it for 400 years and they're done now, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. Lord said this is going to happen. It was his plan all along. So after not repenting for 400 years, the Lord simply strengthened their own decision to rebel against him. And Lord can do that. So it's a scary thing to neglect the Lord as he continues to show you over and over again. Scary thing to keep turning away from God on that one. Yeah, because the Lord knows that he's going to show us victory, and we will see that happen. But we need to give the Lord time and hang in there for that. You know, I was thinking too, we got these folks who didn't repent for all this time, and the Lord hardened their heart. And we might get upset with that, but there's a passage in the Gospels that say that too. After the religious leaders had seen all the miracles Jesus did, they didn't deny there were miracles, they couldn't explain it. They saw the miracles and said, and yet they still wouldn't believe. Their hearts are going to be hardened. God, it says after that, God hardened their hearts. And it's what man deserves after he's continually turned away from God and rebelled against the truth. Down in verse 21, it says, at that time Joshua came. He cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. Now, do you remember why Israel was afraid to enter the promised land 40 years earlier? It was for fear of these people, the Anakim. They were a tribe that was like giants. And remember, the spies said that they felt like grasshoppers in their sight. These guys must have been a pretty awesome sight. And we learned this, okay, that no matter how big all the giants are in our life, we just need to trust the Lord. Give him our obedience, give him time to work in them, and we're going to see the victory that he's already promised. Okay, something else we note here, 40 years earlier, the Israelites were afraid to go against the Anakim, but notice how the Lord worked this out, okay? He saved the Anakim for last. they didn't have to fight them first. That was the biggest fear. Are we going to face these people? God's saying, you're not going to have to. I'm going to train you how to fight first, and then you'll be able to fight them. But there was time that was going to have to take place in between. So it was only after the training God gave them, he gave them numerous victories, build their confidence in the Lord and what he was going to do, that's when they had to fight these giant-like people, okay? We need to let the Lord orchestrate in our life, you know, how and when we should face these giants too. Sometimes we think we got to face them first. You know, when God tells us, you're going to face them last. Don't worry about that right now. We got other stuff we're working on. You know, if we obediently wait in the Lord, he's going to show us a perfect time to attack them. The Anakim, they only remained in a few cities, it tells us here. They were occupied by the Philistines. They were pushed out of the land. They kept them out of the place of Israel. But we do see later on that Goliath comes into the picture there. Testing. Nothing yet? Maybe the Lord's saying, time to end. Okay, we better stop. We got a few more things we look at, but we'll pick them up next time, Lord willing. We'll take this as an idea. We should stop right here. So let's do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you show us the victories that we have in Christ. Lord, you are God. You're our ruler. We don't need anything this world has to offer, especially no tools the devil has to offer us, Lord. We don't need any of that. We thank you, Father. You are God Almighty, and we can trust you. We can follow you. If there's somebody here today, Lord, who is saying, I just didn't know I could make it any further, I pray you speak to their heart to tell them to keep fighting the battle, that you have this, Lord. Help them to get into your word, to see your promises that you bless us with, hundreds of promises, Lord. And help us to know there takes time for us to grab all these promises and to trust you and see you work on each and every one of them. Father, I ask you to help those that are hurting today. If there's someone here today who doesn't know Christ, open their heart to see their need for Jesus. And Lord, we just place that in your hands. Help them to know that Jesus died for their sins. He paid for their sins on the cross completely. He said it's finished. And Lord, we look forward to that you promised the resurrection as we saw Christ was raised from the dead. We have a resurrection to look forward to, free from our sins, free from the flesh, and we look forward to that day. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our life. We pray for those who couldn't be here today because of illness or situations. We ask you to help them, encourage them. We give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.